Thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning, 3/28/21. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is called The Lord of the Sabbath. This is kind of different. I've had something hanging in my craw, and the Lord began to speak to me about it, so here we go. What does the New Testament have to say about holidays and worship days? I constantly seem to run into Christians on social media that are trying to drag us from one ditch to the other. Some say, and I do believe it to be true, that Jesus was born on September the 11th. That's why 9/11 happened. He was born on September 11th. If you study this, you will see that it is the truth. Now you can understand why the Satanists chose that day to do their carnage. They considered it a blood sacrifice to their cult. And in your face defiance to God. There seems to be Christians out there, many of them ministers and many of them well known, that think that we need to go back to Sabbath. In other words, Saturday worship services. Ever hear that? They indicate that God can't bless us unless we do. Not only is Christmas under attack, but Easter also. Supposedly, we're cursed as a nation because we celebrate them. They say it's to some goddess. Easter's to some goddess. Others say we should switch to the Jewish feast. Or if we won't, we won't be blessed. Or better yet, we need to switch to Hanukkah. Which Hanukkah is not, it's called the Festival of Lights. It's not even a biblical holiday. It was some kind of war and a deliverance that they went through, but it's not even in the Bible. So what does the Bible have to say about all of this? Are they right? Frankly, I'm weary of hearing all the fear porn, always some outward thing that we need to do to please God or He won't bless us. Just constantly. If we're in this side of the road, they try to take us to this side of the road. Jesus came to set the captives free. Let's have a look at what the New Testament has to say about all of this. Yesterday I felt like Paul before Peter. Seems there's always those Pharisees and Sadducees around that just want to drag us back into bondage. All right, let's look at Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and that they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meant, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Okay, there's two other scriptures that say the same thing. That's Mark 2 and Luke 6. The Lord there, the word Lord of the Sabbath, means supreme authority controller. So I'm Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath's not Lord over me. Sabbath means a day of weekly repose or rest. Did Jesus and his disciples break the law on the Sabbath according to the law? According to the leaders, that he did. Sounds like they just followed him around to see if he broke the law. Sound familiar? Well, you know what he said about them. This is Matthew 23. He put them in their place pretty good. This is verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All there whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and previous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be obeyed, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I was thinking as I was doing this about all the stuff that's going on in this world and the way it's affecting people and what people are going through and what the little children are going through and all this stuff, and this is what you're focusing on? If you're celebrating Easter, you're wrong. It's, you know, I'm going. It's just like when Jesus would heal somebody on the Sabbath. All they cared about was he broke the law. They didn't care that the man got healed. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entered in to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses. For a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. When he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gold of the temple that sanctifieth the gold. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and all things thereon. Whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, and within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. He called them a generation of vipers. You get the point here. All right. What does it say about the Old Testament when it's read? This is 2 Corinthians 3. I don't see that them thinking that we should have Saturday church and not have Christmas anymore and not celebrate Easter but do the Hebrew feast. How's that helping us in the body of Christ? What's that doing for us? Even Jesus stepped over those boundaries at times when it fit to do so. 2 Corinthians 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does the law do? It brings us back into bondage. The veil covers the face. What was Jesus saying here? He said, the Sabbath does not control the man, but the man the Sabbath. Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles said this. This is Colossians 2. Many years ago, we got messed up in a deal where they did all of that. Tried to put everybody back under the feast, and part of the people that were doing this in another town, they all ended up going to another part of Texas and having a big compound there, and some people ended up dying. I mean, it was a mess. It all just shipwrecked. All it did was bring us back under the law. It's like, well, we'll get there. Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men? Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It looks good, it looks righteous, it looks religious. It is between you and God what you decide to do concerning this matter. My opinion is that I refuse to give any day to Satan. If I'm Lord over it, if he's given us the day, then I say that Satan is not the Lord over it. Refuse to let Satan have any day. God made the days for man. Many years ago, I came to the conclusion about Halloween. I was in a place where a little consignment shop that I had a booth in, and this lady that ran the place was getting on her dad because Halloween comes and he just locks himself in the house and doesn't turn the light on because, oh, it's the devil's day. And I told her, I said, well, it's an opportunity to evangelize. I said, I get candy out and tracts and I give it to the kids. She said, see there, Dad, you know. What would Jesus do? I figured he'd be out among the kids. All right. I'm so excited about the pushback on the evil ones. They've tried to censor us and to push us back. Well, no longer. God has given us all the days. God has taken away all of their days they stole from us. There has, since I've been in the body of Christ, an infatuation with the church wanting to be Jews and observe Jewish traditions. Well, here is the true Jew. Right here, Romans 2. Most of the Jews that they say are Jews are not. This is Romans 2, 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of them, but of God. All this law business was not God's idea. He gave them the law because he knew it'd be impossible for them to keep it. He wanted them to be wearied with that so they would trust and believe him and walk by faith. That's what he brought them out of Egypt, walking by faith. Paul and the apostles was the apostle to the Gentiles. He went to great lengths to keep the Gentiles free from the Jewish leaven. We're going to look at that. Galatians 2. Leaven. 2:11. 2:11:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissemination. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, all the stuff coming out about this, people writing books telling us we need to do all these things. No, we need to be free. That's what we need to be, helping people get free. That's what this ministry is about, setting people free from the strongholds in their minds. Get people free, then you can teach them what the Bible says about certain things, but you just, all this, want to heap burdens on them? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I think I'm done with that one. Okay. Let's go on to chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only what I learned of you, received ye the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See what I'm saying? What good is the law? Even as Abraham believed God and was accredited to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. It's just heaping burdens. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's not by keeping the law. It's by faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed no man disannuleth or addeth thereunto. Okay, you get the point here of what he's trying to say here. This is all by the grace of God. This is not about doing works of the law. Okay, we see here, which we studied for a few weeks, right here, verse 22 of chapter 4. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, was generated to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an entrance to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, was are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't let anybody put that on you. Whatever you have in your heart to do, that's what you do. What did Jesus do? He ate with the publicans and the sinners. He mixed with the common people. He tried to show them the ways of the kingdom. He didn't try to put the law on them. I I hope that clears up confusion about this kind of stuff when you start hearing this thing. It does. It just pulls you. I'm thinking, what good is this to our faith? It's more like, it ain't none of your business. That's the way I feel about it. Why don't you be teaching the word? Making people free. Instead of putting this garbage. Because you have written a few books and you go to meetings and you do stuff, you think you have the right to come in here and say, we need to do this and we need to do that. I'm thinking, no. I don't have that. What did we just learn in the teaching before? Learning to hear what the Spirit says to us. Because He may not tell me to do what you're doing. He may not tell you to do what I'm doing. That's why how we become individuals and do individual things is because God tells us to do different things. We're not going to all do the same thing like clones. That's why you got to be careful, especially with prophets. I love the prophets, and we're to honor the prophets and highly esteem the prophets, but some of them, I just think, okay, none of us are perfect. Let's just put it that way. What applies to you, take it and spit out the rest. That's all I can say. All right. Now you can understand the food pyramid. For most of the body of Christ today, eating healthy is next to godliness. I'm not against eating healthy or eating any kind of food. It's just food, but rules of diet. Here's the stranglehold. The diets. Getting into bondage about these things, whether it be observing holidays or working out or eating this and that. It's all, to me, the law to put you in bondage. Okay. To me, it's the leaven of the Pharisees. Because most everybody that I hear, I mean, it's just everywhere. About eating healthy. It's all about eating healthy. In fact, just about every programmer you watch, they are selling their health products. Okay. Matthew 16. It's a good thing a particular person was not in my office yesterday. Because I felt like Paul before Peter. Why do you want to put burdens on the people? Don't they have enough burdens to overcome where we live today? So I don't listen to much other people. Because sometimes I hear something and it just makes me so angry. I just think, Lord, I'm mad and Paul was fuming. All right, Matthew 16:5. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up? In other words, if we didn't have any bread, I could, you know, I multiplied it once, I could do it again. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Doctrine. Can you see how deep this goes? It may appear harmless, but it is not. Paul came down hard on Peter about this particular area. What is leaven? It's ferment. It's ferment. And ferment stinks. I mean, it stinks bad. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 8. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. What's the old leaven? The law. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. All right, Galatians 5:9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Jesus told a parable about a woman putting a little bit of leaven in all this bunch of dough. It infiltrates the whole everything. A little bit goes into everything. It's kind of like one apple, and a bad apple in a barrel will spoil the whole barrel. These thinking processes are what keep us from all God wants for us. Just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Okay, in the story in Acts 10, where Peter is sent to Cornelius' house, he has a vision of the sheet of unclean stuff laid down in front of him, and the Lord said to rise and kill and eat. And Peter said, oh, not so. I've walked in the law my whole life, and we don't touch anything unclean, much less eat anything unclean. And the Lord said, I said eat it. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get rid of some mindsets in Peter because he's about to see some Gentiles and bring the gospel to the Gentiles. It's no wonder that Paul had problems with him trying to go back under the law when he's around the Jews, and then when he's around the Gentiles, he acts like a Gentile. Okay. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We get these little leavened. We get some leaven in our mindsets. What does it do? It keeps us from receiving from God. It's a stronghold. It builds up a stronghold. Okay. You may think it's a little thing, but you know what? This whole ministry is based on this alone. Setting people free from the strongholds of their mind. Bringing them out of the old leaven into the new. Just like the wine into new wineskins, coming out of the old, walking in the new. What is the purpose of this ministry? To set people here strong of their minds. You could say leaven. The children of Israel could not go into the promised land because of the leaven. They found it impossible to leave the pyramids behind. Just think about the beast system. On the back of the $1 bill, there is the pyramid with the all-seeing eye. They've got their thumb, their tentacle into everything. Everything, what you eat, what you drink, your visits to the doctor, your travel, everything, hunting, I mean driving. Big Brother's watching over you, telling you what to eat and everything else in your life. All right, this is what Paul said. I agree with Paul. This is Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But if you're going to dwell back there in that old leaven, that mindset, you may be condemned all the time. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. These were only the stipulations that were put on the Christian church or the Gentile converts. I'm going to read them to you. Acts chapter 15. It's in two places. And they prayed. They were upset that Peter had gone to Cornelius' house. And then Peter begins to tell them about the vision, the trance he fell into, and what he saw and everything. And then they... After they heard that, they thought, wow, you know, this is what the you could say the board of apostles or whatever. Most apostles have a presbytery board. Anyway, Acts chapter 15, verse 20 says, but that we write unto them that they abstain. So they're praying. They're praying about what do we do with the Gentile converts? Are we to make them go back under the law and practice Judaism? What is it that we need to set down for the Gentile church? And this is what God gave them, or the Holy Spirit. But they that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. That's it. He didn't say that we were to do the Jewish feast. Do you know that Jesus finished that? Okay, 28 and 29, same chapter. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. That's Nephilim activity, isn't it? Worshipping idols, drinking of blood. Keep your bloodline clean. Keep yourself pure. Okay? So I just want to encourage y'all with that today. Jesus said it's finished.
Read Galatians 2, 4, and 5.
Okay, Galatians 2, 4, and 5. Okay. Oh, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privy to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Yeah. What is it with some of these people that they just do not want us to be free? They want to heap us laws on the other side. I hate it. What?
Romans 14, 5, and 6. That's it. I mean, it's just...
Romans 14, 5, and 6. At least we'll get it on the tape. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not to the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Yeah. Well, I know this. When I celebrate Christmas, whatever date it might be, I'm not thinking about all the garbage about what they say each thing means. It's a demonic symbol. I'm thinking, the devil can't have it. He can't steal anymore. He can't have anything else. He's about to be out of here, and he lost everything. He doesn't get it. We need to quit letting the devil steal. Oh, no. We need to let the devil have that, and we need to come over here and be a Jew now. No, no. It just makes me angry. I'm thinking, no. We're not going to do that. Take it back. Take it back. Yeah, I wish Christmas wasn't so commercial, but I'm telling you, I'm not thinking of it that way. And in my heart, this is the day that I choose to celebrate what Jesus' birth or Easter, whatever you want to call it. It's what it's saying here. Don't let anybody judge you on that. When you hear these people, just go... Just blow them off. Don't give them any, don't. And some of them have wonderful stuff. 90% of their stuff is great. And then they got this pet peeve. And you just go, would you get off of that? Anyway.